Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
A few days ago, as I came out of the house and put a letter in the mailbox, as I'm doing this morning, I encountered two young deer in the middle of the driveway, eating apples. I'm sure I surprised them as much as they surprised me. But they didn't panic and run. They just stood there for a while, looked at me, and then headed off up through the backyard. Seeing them there made me realize how much things have changed since I moved here more than 25 years ago. When I first came here, I rarely saw a deer. And I rarely heard any cars like that one that just went by. I didn't see deer or other wild animals because they weren't around, but because there was no reason for them to interfere with people. Letter in, flag out, head back up again. But since I've lived here, things have changed. In the 1.5 miles between my place and the highway, there used to be 6 homes. Now there are 12. That may not seem like a lot, but it is when you realize that that same phenomenon is going on all over the place. While the town to the south of me is very small, it's also spreading northward. And meanwhile, the larger town to the north of me is spreading southward. And so the animals are kind of caught in the middle. And because of that, some of them have chosen to make their peace and try to cohabit with the humans in their environment. In the front of my house, there's an old apple tree. A tree that is so old that some people say it even predates the house, which is itself pretty doggone old. And every day, beginning in August, when the apples start to fall off the tree, I kick them off the driveway to one side. While some of my friends might say I do this because I'm just so anal about how things look, I really do it for more practical reasons. When the apples fall and hit the ground and rot and get mushy, and then it rains, they become very slippery. I'll be the first to tell you that there's nothing quite as disgusting as slipping on rotten apple mush and then falling in it. The second thing is that rotting apples attract bees, and for whatever reason, my rotting apples attract yellow jackets. Like other animals this late in the season, yellow jackets who are feasting on rotten apples are not particularly friendly. And the other reason I kick the apples out of the way is I figure if I put them all together, it kind of makes a nice buffet. In the past, the deer never bothered to eat those apples because there are plenty of other apple trees through the woods. But now they do, and sometimes eating my hosta. This is the result of a fantastic sequence during which the animals that survive various environmental and situational changes, who live long enough to reproduce and successfully raise their young, pass them on to the next generation. At the same time, they also deal with other changes. Initially, when I first started seeing deer around this house, it would be very, very early in the morning, and as soon as they heard a car, they would vanish, let alone as soon as they saw me. That's no longer the case. Somewhere in their heritage, there are genes that predispose them to be able to have courage and confidence to wait it out, and their maternal teaching probably turned those genes on. And by doing so, those animals were protected from that constant stress, that constant activation of their fear response system. When circumstances had proven to their parents and their parents' parents, and who knows how many previous generations, that it wasn't necessary. As long as they were in this particular area, they were safe. all of those countless changes, generation after generation after generation, to bring those particular young deer to my driveway, to give them the behavior and the physiology, not only to tolerate and accept my presence here and my artificial paraphernalia, my car, my lawnmower, but also the changes in their diet, that somewhere in their genome they have adapted the microenvironment of their gut. Countless microorganisms that live within them, live within all of us, and enable us to be alive and survive. It's an amazing system. And when you think about it, when you think about all of the adaptations and all of the things that these deer have learned about humans in their environment and all the animals in their environment, recognize their sounds, their songs, their grunts, their groans, signs of anger, signs of acceptance, signs of fear, their respective diets, whether they're nocturnal or diurnal. All of these adaptations interlinked to create physiological and behavioral reality. When you think about that, how can we even begin to think that taking animals, let alone young animals, away from the environment in which they evolved for generations to fit in and to survive in circumstances that we can't even begin to comprehend? How can we rationalize that? It boggles my mind.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.